World famous K-Rock, another day, another chance for you to score free tickets to the Vans Warped Tour, also Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fun, and so much more. Beer Mug, is it you again in the van today for Del Taco at noon to 2, is that right?
Right in Harbor City off the 110 freeway in PCH today. Yeah, I'll be giving out tickets and free food.
Pretty good deal. Beer Mug will be there again. That's the Harbor City Del Taco at noon today. Everyone, pick up the K-Rock sticker at the Del Taco near you. Put it on the back of your car. Send in the back of the sticker, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, 2012 Honda Motorcycle, plus tickets to the upcoming Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park, that band right there, and Incubus. All your details at K-Rock.com. That is a great deal.
It is.
Not as great as this deal, though. There's a machine now, a vending machine, Lisa May, that makes pizza fresh, right in front of you.
Really?
Well, yes.
We have to sit there and wait for like 25 minutes. That's how long it takes to make pizza.
Yes, again. Listen to this instructional video on how this machine works.
Let's Pizza is the only machine in the world capable of making healthy and genuine pizzas using entirely fresh ingredients. Once you have chosen your desired pizza among the choice available, the pizza is kneaded, rolled out, topped, cooked and served, starting with the water and flour, in less than 3 minutes.
In less than 3 minutes, you get a fresh hot piece of pizza.
I can get my pizza in less than 3 minutes?
Yes.
Joe.
Let's Pizza is what it's called. It is a big hit in Europe. It has come to the United States. They've already got it in Atlanta. We're trying to figure out how we can get one in the K-Rock building. We wanted to find out more about this amazing concept. The Italian inventor of Let's Pizza, Claudio Torgel, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Claudio.
Hey, how you do? How's everybody doing in America? Hey, I love America.
Well, we're doing great, and we're so excited about Let's Pizza. We can barely stand it.
You're excited. I'm even more excited. Everybody, Let's Pizza!
How do you make a pizza fresh in front of my eyes in less than 3 minutes, Claudio?
I gotta tell you something. I'm very proud of a Let's Pizza. What happens is you put in your money, mm-hmm. and then we mix the water and the flour, and we make it a dough.
Okay.
And then the dough drop it down into plate. We press it down into a pizza size. We put a tomato sauce. We put mozzarella. We put whatever kind of meat. What kind of meat you like, lady? Hey, lady, what kind of meat you like?
I like pepperoni.
Pepperoni. We got pepperoni. Let's pizza. And then we put the pepperoni and we slide it in the oven, which is a very, very, very hot. And then it cooks it super quick. 3 minutes later, ba-boom, ba-boom, fa-ta-fa-zool, you got a pizza. Everybody, let's pizza.
Three minutes is crazy.
Apparently, it's an infrared oven. Is that right, Claudio? That's
right.
The secret?
It's infrared. It's not infra-blue. It's not infra-green. It's an infrared.
I think this country has a lot of problems, but we'd forget about most of them if we had access to fresh, hot pizza at any time around the clock.
Pizza.
Let's Pizza, indeed. This technology that you've come up with for the pizza, is this something that you can use for other food, too?
Well, Let's Pizza is such a big success that I'm here in the lab working on many more vending machines over many more kinds of food for people. And I think everybody's going to be very happy with the new vending machine you're going to see soon. We're starting it in Jerusalem. It's for matzo balls.
Matzo balls in a vending machine.
Fresh matzo balls. It's called Eat My Balls.
I would change that name, but I think the product...
Hey, how you doing, Jewish guy? Eat My Balls.
Well, I'd be careful with that, but the product idea sounds like a good one.
You
sure.
Like a quiche? You like a little quiche?
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Quiche in France is so popular. I make a vending machine for the French with a quiche, fresh quiche in it. Quiche my ass. People.
Maybe someone else works on the names for your products, and you just stick to the inventing.
You like sushi? I love a sushi.
Sure.
I'm a big sushi fan. I'm going to make a vending machine for Japan, for I have a sushi, fresh sushi. The fish are in there. They cut it up, slice it, roll it. Boom. 3 minutes later, you got fresh sushi.
Nice.
So, lady, you smell fishy.
Nope. That is a bad name.
No,
that's a terrible name. That could be misconstrued.
Want to hear about my vending machine for head cheese?
No.
I do not.
My vending machine for grape nuts.
Oh, well, you look at the time, Claudia. We got
to
go. Okay. Thank you, sir.
That's the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean is a baby.
What are we talking about?
All right,
here's
the thing, Lisa. And I'm not even going to look at Ralph and Kevin for this because
they
hurt me.
Because
they hurt me.
You're going to break into tears?
So... I go to the guys and I say, because I think we're friends and I always forget that I like them, but they don't like me.
Right.
I go to the guys and I say, yeah, it was funny. I was in the car. I was, driving to Los Angeles from Las Vegas this weekend, and I heard the song on the radio that was really, it was emotional. I mean, I'd heard the song before, but it's just one of those things that just hit me. And I was like kind of crying a little bit, you know?
You told them that?
I did.
Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Big mistake.
It was a CB song. It was a song about a little crippled kid on a CB radio.
Yeah, this little kid's dad died in a trucking accident a couple months before, and the little kid is on the CB radio. He's home alone because his mom has to work two jobs to make up for the loss of income from dad being there, right?
By the way, this mom's working the truck stop.
This story could only be told with country music.
And he is a little crippled kid in a wheelchair, and he's on talking to these truckers. And he says, I love my dad and I miss my dad, but I'm really going to miss being able to, I know I'm never going to be able to go for a ride in the big rig. And that's my favorite thing in the world to do. Right? And that, and this truck driver is,
Dad, I miss the Peterbilt. That's what he's saying.
So this trucker is talking to him and the kid just said, well, I better go. Thanks a lot for talking to me. It's really cheered me up. And then the trucker picks up the conversation on the CB.
I came back and I said, before you go, 1010.
You understand Beam was listening to this on the way to Vegas.
Before you go, 1010. What's your home 20, little CB friend? He gave me his address, and I didn't once hesitate. Because this hot load of freight is just going to have to wait.
Ooh. Oh, hot load of freight.
He gave me his home address, and I decided to go over there with my hot load of freight.
There's a whole creepy side to the song I never noticed.
That's ugly.
Bear in mind this song came out long before, we were aware of the rampant pedophilia in this country.
Dean immediately went out and bought hotloadoffreight.com.
I turned that truck around on a dime.
Yes, he did.
And headed straight for Jackson Street, 229. And as I rounded the corner, oh, I got one heck of a shock. 18-wheelers were lined up for three city blocks.
Come on.
All sucking
Well, I guess every driver for miles around had caught Teddy Bear's call.
They're trying to help the little kid,
that
Ralph.
That little crippled boy was having a ball. For as fast as one driver would carry him in, another would carry him to his truck and take off again.
Wow, they're riding it pretty hard.
Well, you better believe I took my turn at riding.
I bet you got my turn.
I bet you
did. And I carried him back in and put him down in his chair.
Put him down.
And, buddy, if I never live to see happiness again,
I delivered my hot
freight
that day.
I want you to know I saw it that day in the face of that little man.
Oh, right in his face.
We took up a collection for him before his mama got home.
We had to put him back where his mom got
goodbye,
home.
And then they were all gone.
The driver came by and held
the
collection.
He shook my hand with a mile-long grin and said, so long, Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker.
I'll get you again.
Yep.
Yeah, I hit that interstate with tears in my eyes.
Yes, he did.
But I was relieved.
And I turned on the radio and I got another surprise. Breaker 19 came a voice on the air.
Who could this be?
Just one word of thanks from Mama Teddy Bear.
Mama Teddy.
A special prayer for you, because you just made my little boy's dream come true.
If only she knew the real truth.
I'll sign off now
truth filled
before
with
I start to cry.
Oh, for God's sake.
May God ride with you. 10-4. Goodbye.
It's Bean.
See, now, I wasn't thinking that they were violating the child.
They were dropping off their hot loads of freight.
When I was listening to the song, the way the song was intended is this little kid's whole life was brightened up. The kindness of these perfect strangers, and they all were there. And I don't know, it hit me, kind of the right way, and I teared up a little. And I'm man enough to admit it, and it was obviously big mistake.
No, it was a big mistake to tell us.
Yeah, that was the mistake.
Every guy has, most guys have something that they tear up at, if they're normal. It's just most of us, it's not the CB song about the little crippled kid and the kid dropping off his hot load. John in Redondo Beach, good morning.
Hey, I screenwriting is a hobby of mine,
right.
And in virtually every movie, at some point, I will either tear up or tears will be rolling down my cheeks, or if the movie is really exceptional and there's something very poignant, I will almost be sobbing, and my wife will then kind of put her arm around me. But I know there's that little smile on her face, and now we've reached the point where my kids, who are 16 and 10, will be, if they're in the movie with us, you can see them kind of craning their necks around the seat to see if Dad's crying.
That's funny. Yeah.
And then cringing.
Hey, shut up, old man! What was the last movie you went to that you cried?
Probably watching at home Ice Age with my son.
Ice Age?
Cry cartoons.
That's a very touching story.
It's
about
a dinosaur comedy.
Who's the father of your children?
You got to talk to my wife about that.
Yeah, all right, thanks for the call. All right, what was your movie?
It's the final moments of Rocky II. You know, you got Rocky, who, after the first film, has blown through all his money. He's back working at the gym where he started. And his wife, they're having their first baby. And she has a difficult childbirth. She goes into a coma. And she can't come out of it. And he's faced with being alone. And his life is over. So then he goes back and he decides to fight Apollo Creed. Remember, he gets the rematch?
Yeah.
Right.
And after going through all of that, he wins. He didn't even win in the first movie. But in Rocky 2, he wins. And he's the champion of the world.
Right.
And he gets a chance to speak into the microphone when he's up in the ring, holding the belt over his shoulder. And this is the final moments of that movie.
We love you, Rock!
Yeah, and I love you, too. Most of all, I want to thank God. Except for my kid being born. This is the greatest night in the history of my life. I just want to say one thing to my wife who's home. Yo, Adrian!
See, right there. He's crying right now. He's crying! Now,
and they cut to the shot of Adrian sitting at home watching this on television.
And she's sobbing.
And she's bawling. Oh, she says, I love you to the TV set.
That was the best.
And he is, it's like the greatest achievement in his life. He's got it all. That
now,
one moment.
Here's the key to this conversation. Bean, unmoved.
Yes.
No, it was a great movie. It was a great scene.
No, it didn't move me.
All right, let's say good morning to Joe in Cyprus. Good morning.
Yeah, Land Before Time. You know, when the mama dinosaur dies.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Cartoons make me cry sometimes.
When the mama dinosaur dies.
A lot of people cried at Bambi, you know?
Oh, Bambi's disturbing.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Yeah. Thanks. You know, for me, I'm the only person that has kids on the show. For me, I have little girls, and any movie where the little girl is upset, I think it was The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Right. Yeah.
And
his daughter won't talk to
his
her.
Little girl wouldn't talk, and then he's going to go back into the battle, and she says, no, I'll do anything, I'll talk. And he's like, that's the first time she's ever talked. I was throwing chairs in the theater, and I was ripping my shirt, sobbing. Go to war, you bastard! Mike in Pasadena, hello.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Go ahead, Crybaby.
Well, let's see. I think Kevin's going to be with me on this one. The end of Monsters, Inc., when Sully can never see Boo again. I watched it right after the birth of my daughter.
All right.
Oh, Boo is so cute.
Mike, never tell that to anyone.
Yeah.
That was sad. I teared up.
Remember an American Tale, the story about Fifo the Mouse, who's looking for his mom and his parents is lost in New York? And he sings that song somewhere
out there.
Yeah. The pale blue sky. A little mouse voice. That made me trouble.
Hey, Mike, go with Rocky. Thank you. All right. Jim in Silver Lake. Good morning.
Good morning.
You cry at what?
The Elephant Man.
I am not an elephant.
No, wait, that's not what he
animal.
Says, does it?
Not an animal.
Yeah. Not an animal. Dude, that's
not that part. The part where the doctor brings him home for tea, and the wife is really nice to the Elephant Man, and she shakes his hand, and he's never had a woman touch him before.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that is a tragedy.
He cries, she cries, I cry.
Dude, I so identify with that scene, too. I so identify.
Never been woman touched never by touched a woman
yeah,
before?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Thanks for the call on that. Yeah, you know, it was a super emotional movie. I didn't cry, but I mean, I was really devastated by it. It was The Pianist when I went to see that.
The Pianist.
Oh, that one was really tough to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, I just felt beat up.
You want to know an old comedy that I always cried at? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's kind of touching at the end.
At the end, when they find out that John Candy has no family, and Steve Martin invites him over, and he says, "That's not pillows."
That was a different scene.
All right, we need to take a break, but I want to go to Kyle first in Pasadena, who says he has a list of movies that guys can cry at and feel okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, there's about four of them.
All right, where are they?
Okay, Field of Dreams.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, at the very end when he gets to play catch with his dad.
That's okay. That's good. It's legit.
It's sports.
Go ahead.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, oh, I cry at that movie, too. I'm glad you remember that.
For those of us who aren't permanently emotionally scarred like Bean, you know.
Yeah.
When the money gets dumped on the table and everybody starts contributing to George's...
Yeah, that's good. And he's the richest man in town. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Tough.
Absolutely. Right. Brian's Song.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
God, yes. That's an old movie about... Yeah, that, yeah, that one
that's, but again, it's got the sports angle, so it's legit, right?
Okay, and The Natural.
It's all sports.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and other than sports, you know, we really don't care about much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Guys, I cried at Ass Freaks number 8.
You did?
Yeah.
7 got me.
Really?
Ass Freaks 7. But 8, I was fine with. It didn't hurt me at all.
Speaking of Linkin Park, 1 hour from right now, you can win your tickets to see Linkin Park along with The Killers and Jack White and Fun and Bush and Garbage and so many more. We're talking about the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're almost there, kids. The shows are this weekend. We've got the tickets for you just after 9 o'clock this morning, then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Pit tickets and backstage passes. Details at KROQ.com.
I know what's going on here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Internet's top cooking show, which is not what you expected to hear about on today's Kevin and Bean program, because that's only because you haven't yet seen Epic Mealtime, which is epic. And the host of the program, Harley Morenstein, joins us in studio right now.
What up, what
hey,
up?
Harley, how
Thank
are you,
Thank you
man?
For having me.
Of
Harley,
course.
Harley, a.k.a. Sauce Boss, a.k.a. Michael Jordan of Meat, a.k.a. Justin Bieber Bacon, a.k.a. Snoop Dogg of Steak. A.K.A. Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
Exactly. The Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken. That's your undisputed.
I don't even know what it means.
I wanted that title.
You can take it. You can borrow it.
Can I?
Yeah,
all right.
You got that today. You're Jeff Goldblum of Jamaican Jerk Chicken.
First of all, congratulations on the ridiculous success of Epic Mealtime. We have so many questions for you, starting with, what's your background? How did you come to be the host of a cooking show on the Internet?
Well, I'm a teacher, so the fact that I host the number one cooking show in the world makes no sense at all.
Right.
And just goes to show you how crazy it is in 2012. And I'm always like, it happens once a week, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I? Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
What do you say you're a teacher? You're a teacher of what kind?
Elementary, high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't done it for 2 years and no one believes that I did do it.
Did you have any training in to be a chef?
No, nothing. And
what's
the guys on the show, none of them had training, none of us. And I think that's the beauty of it, is it's just so dumb. Just a bunch of dummies in the kitchen. It's kind of dangerous when you really think about it. Don't do what we do at home.
Right. What was the idea? Where did it spark from?
You know, just grabbing some drinks in the backyard with my buddies, and it was like, you know, when you have those moments, wouldn't it be crazy if we did this?
Right.
We actually did it.
Most of the time you laugh it off and move on to the next. Yeah,
we didn't move on, and now this is what we do every single week. We are making 100,000 calorie meals, wrapping them in bacon, dumping liquor all over them, and getting drunk while we eat.
It's not a diet show.
Listen, it's tough, but, you know, we're doing it for you guys. You know? We do it for
Look,
you guys.
I get fat watching it. I do know that. Why is that the direction you guys decided to go, is over-the-top, crazy, crazy food, like anything you could possibly imagine, throw into a pot?
You know, the point was never like, oh, my God, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, you know, we should totally shock people. We were just doing it, and it just escalated
very
quickly.
Wait, you were just doing that naturally?
We threw burgers on a pizza, and we're like, that's funny and fun. And then before we knew it, we were stuffing 50 birds inside 10 pigs and attaching them, like, rear to mouth, wrapping them all in bacon, garnishing them with Baconators. And that's when I was like, whoa. A year later, I'm like, what are we? What are we?
What are you is a great question.
Yeah, we're monsters. We're horrible, monsters. Horrible monsters.
But I will tell you what I love is, no matter how ridiculous the item is that you make, and I'm thinking particularly of the burgers stuffed in the ravioli, it's not like you make it for yucks. You make it and eat it. You sit down at the end of every show and you actually eat every bit of it.
Listen, like, you like ravioli, you like burgers, well, you'll like burger ravioli.
That's
I
not
don't
necessarily
doubt
true, by the way.
It is on Epic Mealtime, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I've noticed that the sum of all parts is greater than the individual ingredients added.
But I'm going to suggest most of the time that's true. Sometimes it's got to backfire and just be nasty.
Yeah, if you like turtle soup and you like Jack Daniels, I have news for you. You're not going to like Jack Daniels turtle soup. I tried it. That was bad.
All right, good.
But aside from Epic Mealtime, we also have Epic Chef, which is
next
Friday. We basically took the whole Epic mentality and applied it to a competitive-based cooking show.
Okay.
So we got, like, two dweebs. We pit them head-to-head, give them secret ingredients, a briefcase filled with bacon, a bottle of liquor. They got a time limit, and I'm literally in their face the entire time.
Yelling and screaming?
Oh, it's horrible. I feel bad when we're looking at the edits. I'm like, I feel bad for these guys. This is a grown man here, and I'm, like, fully drunk, yelling in his face, and he's dealing with, like, a hot pot of oil. Well, you know, it's the Internet, you know?
Yeah. How does somebody win Epic Chef? Do you decide which one tastes better at the end?
Yep. It's me with some guest judges. We have some fun people on the show, and we basically, you know, we give them the thumbs up or
I'm guessing no one wins. I'm just guessing you do it for the fun of it.
No, you lose. You come on the show, you lose.
Right.
Automatically. You're okay. Getting, like, liquor thrown in your face. It's hot. The fire's going on in the kitchen, and I'm on your ass nonstop.
Now, the people that you have on, are they trained to be a chef at all?
Way more than me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Way more than the guy in their face yelling?
Yeah, exactly. Tell them that they're doing it wrong. But that's it. The whole show is about wrong. It's about doing it wrong. I remember we had a real chef early on, and he was like, I was like, oh, yeah, we'll just take some veal and put some cheddar on it. He's like, oh, you don't mix veal and cheddar. And I was like, get out. You don't tell me what you can't mix. As far as I'm concerned, if they both fit in the bowl, I mixed it. All right?
Now, we're going to hear some tape in the next segment here from the program. Again, we're talking to Harley from Epic Mealtime here on the Kevin Bean and Sean Kerouac. But before we break, just because I want to see Lisa's face as you describe this, if you can remember, Harley, the dessert that you made.
I remember everything.
Tell me the dessert that you made, the stuff that you put on that that monstrosity, because it had to be well over 100,000 calories.
Which one?
Which dessert?
Which dessert?
Geez, I'm sorry. It had to involve cinnamon. It had to involve chocolate.
Oh,
I mean,
cinnamon.
Just...
Yeah, the cinnamon burger. The cinnamon burger.
Okay. Is everything a burger with you?
You know what? I love hamburgers. does anyone here not love hamburgers?
I love hamburgers
right?
as well.
Yeah. They're so good. And right. Really, hamburgers is just a sandwich, really.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Why do we give it that special title, hamburger? It's just a sandwich, but... Whatever, give it to it. I love it. Cinnaburger was we took huge cinnamon rolls and mixed it up with some candy bacon, which is bacon with some cinnamon brown sugar. We usually add some whiskey to that and a ton of chocolate.
Okay.
We made a huge patty out of chocolate Rice Krispie squares.
Okay.
And just put a pound of like peanut butter candy bacon on top of it.
This is the greatest meal I've ever heard of.
Yeah, piled it up like about a foot high. And cut it up into pieces. Yeah, it was really disgusting. It really destroys your teeth. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It's just when you're done that, you kind of like you know, you're in bed late and you're holding your gut and you're like, oh, this is bigger now. I made this bigger tonight.
Yeah. All right. The program is called Epic Mealtime. EpicMealtime.com. Follow on Twitter at Epic Mealtime. And, of course, Epic Chef premiering next Friday. We'll talk more with our guest, Harley, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Like a kitchen samurai, we slice precise and start constructing our fast food ravioli. This ain't Food Network shit. Ain't nobody throwing full burgers and bacon in their ravioli.
That's true.
There ain't. That's the voice of our guest, Harley Morenstein, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, from Epic Mealtime, which is the Internet's top cooking show. Of course it is. Epic Chef premieres next week as well, which sounds awesome. I hate to be that guy, Harley, that has to ask this question because it's got to be the most asked question ever. But seriously, why are you not a fat ass? What, how do you not weigh 800 pounds?
I'm so unhealthy.
You're thin on health.
Oh, my body's disgusting. It's a horrible, horrible body. It's being bad now. It's starting to break down in certain parts.
Is that right?
Yeah, basically killing myself for the enjoyment of strangers on the internet.
Well,
but it's worth it.
It is worth it for us.
And also, I got to say, like, we're huge meat eaters. So what we do is during the week, we just eat only meat.
Right.
You know? No bread, no potatoes. And then Epic Mealtime comes once a week and we just go ham on it.
So. Yes. Lisa, I thought about you when I was catching up on my mealtime videos this week, and I don't think you could eat one of these things that they made.
No,
I literally don't think you could sit down in
an unlimited
amount of time and eat it.
Well, it does sound like giant piles of meat, and what else do you use? Cheese. And
that's it. You're actually doing like what my job is. That's what I do. Giant piles of meat and cheese, and then we cover it in liquor and wrap it in bacon, deep fry it, and then wrap it in bacon again.
Bacon is in everything,
though,
right?
That does sound like a challenge.
It really is. And, you know, we never were like, oh, bacon is, you know, really popular. It's just so natural to take it and be like, oh, yeah, and then wrap it in bacon. Yeah, and
whatever
fry it in bacon grease, of course. Yeah, of course. And then wrap it in bacon again. It's just the easy, it's the go-to move.
Do you have people that are upset with you for unhealthy, whatever, blah, blah, blah? There's always people out there complaining.
Totally, totally. Yeah, we get people being like, oh my God, they waste the food. When in actuality, whatever we don't eat, the members of the cast bring home and it lives in their fridge for like 2 days
before they throw it out.
Yeah, and their family members usually come out and like cut off like a little sliver and have it for breakfast. We made an 84 egg sandwich once. It was an egg sandwich made of 84 egg sandwiches.
Right.
And we ate half of it on the show, and the other quarters lived in two of my buddy's places. And like his dad would come downstairs and like slice a little off, microwave it for breakfast. Like,
oh my God,
like just you eat know, on it for a week.
No joke. It was. We made a barbecue coliseum. It was like made of ribs.
A barbecue coliseum.
Yeah, it was like a rib coliseum with tons of like mac and cheese and pulled pork inside and stuff.
Oh my God.
And that lived in my buddy's fridge for like a week, and he was really sick, and I was like, Amir, I'm like, have you been eating ribs three times a day every day? And he's like, yeah. That barbecue coliseum got the best of you.
I know you guys have a cookbook. You sell a cookbook.
Yeah, we just started selling it this past this past week. Shop.epicmealtime.com if you want to
buy
it.
Yeah, I saw you got all the t-shirts incredible. And products. The cookbook, though. I mean, do you really think that people are going to buy this book and recreate your recipes at home?
I'll have you know, people have already bought that book, and they better create recipes. Otherwise, it's just a waste of money for them. But we have some recipes in there, and it says, this recipe will feed 10 people.
Right.
And it's like, you know, one hamburger. Yeah. Always comes back to burgers.
It's all about the burger.
It is. And then, you know, I mean, they can just mathematically decide how to make a smaller version of sure. that, but, you know.
But they probably don't.
But no. That's offensive to you if they do, though, right, Harley?
Well, listen, I'm just happy they bought the thing. Whatever they want, you know?
Well,
they could use
very...
it as toilet paper. I'm just happy they bought it for
I
me.
Am very excited about the Epic Chef competition. I think that sounds awesome. Mystery ingredients, just like the Iron Chef, except with way better ingredients.
And yeah, like and everyone fun. On set is drunk.
And no one's a chef.
That's what it's like. That's what it's like. It's really like a lot like Iron Chef, except everyone's drunk and
okay, right.
And I'm there. So right. Actually, it's a lot like Epic Mealtime also. It's got that Epic Mealtime vibe as if we came in drunk and took over a food show.
Right.
And that's the vibe it's got. It's pretty incredible.
Isn't the internet just the most amazing thing that a guy like you, Harley, could be a star on a show like Epic Mealtime and probably make a living out of it? I mean, this is a wonderful world we live in.
The internet is a horrible place. Okay? It's a horrible place. There's nothing – it's a bad, evil lair. Okay? Lots of people get hurt on the internet.
Right.
It's scary. You got to have thick skin. You got to be prepared to shield yourself from the haters. Like, you got to go in with that mentality and you know, make a home for yourself.
Do you get a lot of hate?
Yeah, we get it all the time. Oh, fat douchebag. I get that all the time. I come to believe it. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I am.
I have seen right. or heard nothing to suggest that you should not believe it, Arlie. I've got to be honest. Go to epicmealtime.com on Twitter at epicmealtime. Harley, I don't know if you'll be dead by heart attack next time we try to contact you to be on the program, but if everything goes
according to plan, I will be.
You will be dead. Yeah. If you're not, though, you're welcome back next time. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we're obsessed with people who can talk to dead people who can talk to heaven, people who talk to aliens. We're obsessed with this kind of people. And one of the guys that we have had on many, many times and his wife is named Speaker Gerald A. Polly. And his wife's name is Linda. And what they do is they speak to people who are in heaven right now. And so I'd like to bring Linda on the show again. Good morning, Linda.
Hi. Good to hear from you guys again.
Yes, it's been so long since we've talked to you.
Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah.
Now, you're still in touch with your good friend John Lennon.
Right.
And you guys have, it seems to me like, have gotten pretty close over the last few years. You talk to him quite a bit, right?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, every day?
Every day you talk to John Lennon.
How come? Why? I mean, does he contact you every day, or do you seek him out?
Yeah, well, he likes the science fiction stories and other stories that my husband writes. And now, for an hour each day, I read them aloud to him.
Okay, Linda. You're telling me that you read a story for an hour a day that your husband wrote to John Lennon in heaven?
Right, and George Harrison.
And who?
George Harrison.
George Harrison.
George
also.
Harrison. Okay.
I see. Are they looking forward to having the Beatles back together one day?
Well, kind of them already are. John has a new band over there called Beatles and Friends that also features George Harrison.
Okay. Now, are they the group that wrote the song about Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor?
No. Actually, it was started out by Kurt Cobain.
Okay. Now, Kurt Cobain wrote a song about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kurt Cobain needed a little help or wanted a little help, so he contacted John Lennon, and he got George Harrison to help. And then he went a strange direction for some of us. We don't see Kurt Cobain necessarily hanging out with or co-writing with Johann Sebastian Bach.
Oh, Johann Sebastian Bach is the director of the angelic choir in the Kingdom of God.
I see.
He's heaven.
He's the director of the choir in heaven. That makes sense.
Now, here's the thing I got to make sure I understand here, Linda, and that is people up in heaven, they can see what's going on down on Earth. So, in other words, Kurt Cobain, even though he's been gone now, what, 6, 7, 8 years or whatever it is, he is aware that Arnold is running for governor in California.
Right. They get the news over there and everything.
Now, how do they get the news?
What channel do they get?
They get a paper? They get USA Today? How do they get it? Heaven Today?
Well, you know, like people like us watch the news and it gets transmitted to the afterlife.
Oh, you mean they can actually
people to do that?
They can tune into the news.
Uh-huh.
What do you think caused Kurt Cobain to want to write a song about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, everybody in the afterlife loves Arnold, and they was just hoping that somebody could get this song to him. Originally, John Lennon wrote a song about all the candidates, but it was too raunchy for me to channel.
I'm sorry.
You can do raunchy songs in heaven?
I'm sorry. John Lennon wrote a raunchy song that was too raunchy for you to channel?
Right. They didn't want me singing it, and So Kurt Cobain heard about it.
What exactly was raunchy about it? Was it the language or was it the content? What?
I'm not really sure. I haven't heard all of it. My husband picked up little bits of it. It was just some of the things not very polite about some of the candidates.
I got you. Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, in our state, we've got a porn star who's running for governor, right, Linda?
Right. There was something about that, too. I heard about that one.
Yeah. Okay, so they didn't want you to have the X-rated version or the R-rated version, but they did give you Come On California. Now, this is a song, again, by Kurt Cobain, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Johann Sebastian Bach. And I'm going to play it. You actually...
Is this the world premiere?
This is the world premiere. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Ladies and gentlemen, Come On California by Kurt Cobain. I tell you, Linda, it doesn't sound like Kurt Cobain's best work.
Yeah, well, we mentioned in our email, Kurt Cobain sent it to John saying, can you clean this up a little bit and so forth. And
in Kurt's defense, his brain is missing.
I mean, let's remember that.
Not in heaven.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Not in heaven. Let's hear just a little bit more.
He can set things right, and he's famous all across the land. Across the ocean because we needed someone. We needed a hero, so heaven sent us one.
So heaven sent us Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, they believe he's the best one running right now.
I see, but he came from heaven? Heaven sent him?
Well, he came across the ocean, I think, but you're saying he was divinely inspired to lead us, though, right?
Right.
Linda, do you have a crush on him?
A little, man.
You love Arnold, don't you? You think he's hot, don't you? You think he's cute?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that Kurt Cobain would have rhymed one with one if he was still alive. That, to me, seemed kind of lazy.
He could be a little rusty.
That's true. Are you familiar with Kurt Cobain's recorded works here on Earth? Do you know the band Nirvana?
The only one I know of and I like by them is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you and Gerald just go crazy when you crank that up on your stereo at home, don't you?
I don't own it, unfortunately.
Oh, you want us to send it to you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, here's one more.
Come on, California, don't you know the world is in a fix? Almost everyone loves Arnold, and he can stop the dirty tricks.
He can stop the dirty tricks. All right, Linda.
That's great.
It's
that's
very exciting to hear a song come from heaven again, and you need to keep us updated. We haven't been hearing from you quite as often, and we'd really like to keep in touch with you and find out what's going on in heaven.
Great. Well, we'll definitely keep in touch.
Especially if you're hanging out with Kurt Cobain, who is one of our heroes. He was one of our big bands here on K-Rock. We played him a lot.
Wow.
Hey, give our best to Gerald, okay?
Okay, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
We'll talk to you soon. We love you.
Thanks. You guys, too. Call anytime.
Okay, bye-bye. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Hey, it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. David Hasselhoff, out of another job. We'll tell you what's going on with him in about 15 minutes. First, though, Yesterday I brought up on the show this story that is so fascinating to me, and I hope you guys were able to hear about it. These Cornell University doctorate students are working in the field of artificial intelligence for robots. And what they've done is they have this program where robots have conversations with people. And they memorize, record, and interpret thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of conversation. And the longer they do it, the more human-like their responses become. So you can actually have a conversation. You can sit down and talk to a robot, and he can understand what it is you're talking about and answer you back, right? So they thought it would be an interesting experiment to take two of these robots, program one of them to say hi to the other, and then just let the two robots go off and have their own conversation with no further human interaction. Am I explaining this sufficiently?
Yes. No. I'm sorry. What happened?
So here are two robots who have been given the voices of a man and a woman having a conversation from scratch, started with just hi. And I think it's so interesting to see where these guys go based on the input of thousands of hours of conversation. Listen up.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. You?
I'm okay.
That's good.
Are you good?
Yes, I am good. I just said I was.
No, you didn't.
Okay, now, to me, this is trouble that they're 12 seconds into the conversation and she's already breathing down his neck. Like, get off me.
Who did they use for the input? I mean, was it just a bunch of a-holes that they had to argue all day?
I think honestly, these programs talk to thousands of people. You know, I think it's an input of, you know, everybody that they speak with. But it is interesting to see the turn that, again, with no further human interaction, it's interesting to see where the robots go on their own.
I said I was.
So you are a robot?
No, my name is Cliverbot.
Yes, you are a robot and your name is Cliverbot.
I am a robot.
Yes, I know.
Together we are robots.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Okay, so
he's tripping balls. That robot's tripping balls.
My question is, whoever provided that conversation for that robot?
You know, we have nothing to worry about the robots because they're both just idiots. These robots are dumb. I mean, he did say he was good. She goes, no, you didn't. Yes, he did. So you're an idiot chick robot, and he says he's a unicorn, so he's a tripping balls idiot male robot.
Well, it is, let's be honest, it is, although funny and fascinating, it is artificial intelligence. It's not real intelligence yet. They've got a long way to go. But we were talking about this yesterday. I mean, we're very close to the point where you can have little robots who are running around in your house or something that you can tell to do something and they will do it and they will understand, they will answer back.
But I don't want to have a conversation with them.
Well, I mean, I think we've still got a ways to go, but I think this is the beginning of substitute people, which is what I've been hoping for.
Fewer real
people and more substitute people. I love where this is going. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think we've been able to communicate with computers and robots for some time now, humans to robot communication. We can ask them questions and they can respond and give us information and stuff. Right. What fascinates me about this story is that the two robots are interacting with each other. They don't even need humans to be in the middle of the deal. They are able to communicate with each other poorly, but to transfer information back and forth between two robots, I think is interesting. And we were inspired here in the show when you guys played this earlier in the week. We would like to have you guys replaced by robots. That's our plan. It would be much easier if Kevin and Bean were not the stars of the Kevin and Bean show any longer.
If we could get Kevin and Bean. In fact, I just proved Ralph's point.
Now you know why we want robot hosts on the show, because we'd go, well, if we had two robots hosting the show, then
it would be flawless.
It would be easier for the rest of us. So what we did was we contacted the people at Cornell and we gave them thousands and thousands of hours of Kevin and Bean on the Kevin and Bean show.
I see.
They programmed all that information into these robots, and we asked them to have a conversation between the robot Kevin and Bean and see how that would go. So they've done that for us, and they sent us the tape bag. This is the first time we're getting a chance to hear it. What would a robot Kevin and Bean conversation sound like?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, I went to see the Taylor Swift concert last night. What? She is so good live. She played her song Mean and Mine. I was hoping for Moan. You are so creepy. I'm Bean. Why did you go see Taylor Swift? You are not so stinging. What? You know what I'm trying to say. I own many animals. They all have frivolous names, like Tater Tot. Ha, ha, ha. You should die. What? Why should I die? I did not say that. Yes, you just did. You are mistaken. Are you a long time? Do you watch all the time? Long time fan him? I love Rachel Nichols, and I believe she loves me as well, even though there is no reason to believe that. She's not going to want to come on our show pretty soon, come around time here. What? I have issues with my belly button. You are an idiot. I like soccer. It is good. What? Coming up next, we're for front and con turn beetle.
I can't wait for that show.
Oh, me too.
That show sounds good.
My Strange Addiction is our one of our very favorite shows. It's on the TLC network. I think it airs Wednesday nights at 10, I want to say. And this season, they've done a lot of people who eat crazy things like sand or drink crazy things like blood or have sex with crazy things like inflatable toys. But now we're getting into some body dysmorphia here because they did an episode recently of I'm Addicted to My Breasts. We haven't done that one yet. And Kevin, you've got I'm Addicted to Butt Injections. And this is a woman who's obsessed with her own ass, right?
My name is Carmelo. I'm 23 years old. I have a 4-year-old son. And I'm addicted to butt injections.
They really do. They're really exceptional with the music on this particular episode.
They are.
Really good. I'm addicted to butt injections. And then they go. Bum, 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 bum.
Butt injections.
They do. They put the scary music on like every episode is Bates Motel, don't they?
Before the injections, she was a size 4. Now she's a size 10. And she's much happier.
I am happier because I never had a butt. It's nice and firm and up how I want it to be up. I picked up more attention than before as far as comment on my butt or something like that. It definitely steps up my confidence.
Steps up her confidence. She gets a lot of compliments on her butt.
Now, she gets a lot of attention. She didn't necessarily say compliments.
Good point.
Because your jaw will hit the ground if you see this girl walk by you.
Yeah, it's crazy because, look, there are a lot of people with big butts, but most of the big-butted people have big bodies.
Right.
And her body is a normal size.
Normal
and her,
size, yeah.
Her butt is cartoonish.
Now, let me ask you two things real quick before we get back to Carmella. One is, Lisa, don't most women go to the gym to do everything they can to keep their butt as small as possible?
Well,
isn't the butt a problem area for a lot of women?
Yes and no. I mean, if you have a flat butt, you hate that.
Especially
if
you're
African. So you want a little bit of a curve.
Especially if you're African American.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
That's
prize. Because
in that community, having a butt that's a size or two bigger than the rest of you is not a bad thing. But
right.
This girl went like 20 times bigger than the rest of her.
That was going to be my thing, too, is wondering if this is partly because she's African American, is that the butt is, you know, is prized.
It is.
Butt injections.
How many butt injections has she had over the last 3 years?
Over the last 3 years, Carmelo's had 54 butt injections, yet she's never bared her behind to a plastic surgeon.
What? 54 butt injections,
this is
but
insane.
She's never gone to a plastic surgeon, then
who's doing them?
Who's giving her the shots?
She receives her shots on the black market, getting pumped with an unregulated substance that's been known to include metal lubricant and cement.
No.
It's been known to include metal lubricants and cement.
Is this just, I assume, cost-cutting is all? It's just cheaper to go get it from a non-doctor?
Yes.
Way cheaper. I don't even think doctors really, they do fat injections in your butt, but otherwise.
They don't use cement.
I think you use surgery to get a bigger butt.
But at least she knows the woman. That's good.
The woman who does give the injections, you know, I don't know what her background is like.
Oh.
We meet. Different places, sometimes in a hotel room.
You mean a hotel room sometimes?
And this woman has a needle with stuff that she just injects into her butt?
Yep, and she has no idea what it is, but she loves it.
Oh, my God.
Any side effects?
Since the 54 injections, I get these light headaches. Do I know for sure it's from the butt injections?
No.
Not at all.
No, she doesn't.
It could be from anything.
That's right. It's not the butt injections necessarily, just because she's getting headaches since she had the 54 butt injections.
Oh, my God.
How do you find someone like this?
I don't know.
How do you decide the first time I'm going to let this stranger inject me with something that's not medically approved?
I don't know, but she has a friend who almost died from the exact
same thing. Who's concerned because the woman that she's using was indicted.
Oh, my God.
And there's some information out there.
The lady that she was getting injected from was indicted. It said in the court documents that she was injecting girls with things from hardware stores.
Okay, so in court, she had to admit that she was injecting things she found in a hardware store.
Who does that?
I don't know.
This whole thing is insane.
So friend talks her into going to the doctor. Like all episodes, she goes to the doctor. The doctor wants to know what the procedure is.
Did she do anything afterwards? I mean, did she stitch up the incisions?
She put super glue, then cotton balls on each shot that she gave me.
She put super glue and cotton balls.
Well, then there should be no trouble.
On each shot. Okay. Super glue. So she injects her butt with cement and then puts super glue on it.
I didn't know you could do everything from Home Depot.
It just takes one bad injection to literally kill you. If it's a substance that's not sterile, you could get some major infections. It can enter your bloodstream and it can literally clot up your lung. And within minutes, you can die. And that's it. End of story.
Nice music. Good. Good. Now comes the question that we always ask.
Yeah.
She went to see the doctor.
Uh-huh.
He said stop it.
He told her the risks. Now she knows. But will she continue to get the butt injections?
Taking guesses?
I'm going to say she sounds crazy obsessed, and she's been doing it a long time, over 50 injections so far and no ill side effects. I'm going to say yes, she's going to continue to do it.
First of all, headaches, but she's not sure it's from that.
Right, Lisa?
I think once a doctor says you could die like that, maybe that would wake her up.
Her friend asks her.
You still want a bigger butt?
I'm still thinking about going back.
There you go.
Hey, everybody keep an eye on their handbags and their their clothes and everything else with Nick Prugo in the next room, man. You don't want to see him walk out with something.
I thought you meant because I'm Mexican.
Nope, it's our guest.
I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
It's our guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. He's one of the real-life people portrayed in the new film in theaters called The Bling Ring. He used to break in people's houses and steal stuff. Did the time in jail. He's going to be on today to tell us all about it. Hey, Mike Catherwood from Loveline.
How are you?
How did this thing happen?
Honestly, as organically, and I was as shocked by it as you guys are.
Okay, that's step one of why I don't buy it.
Okay.
Because it's not like this person to reach out and be aggressive in
not at
any
all.
Way whatsoever.
Not at all.
Explain what to the listeners what happened.
What was the topic you and Drew were talking about?
On the open forum on Sunday night's show, this last Sunday, we were talking about sexual fetishes and things that you wish you could check off your sexual bucket list.
Right.
Okay. And we were taking calls that really ran the gamut.
Of course.
And the break was over. And at the commercial break, our phone screener, Krista, comes in and says, Rodney Bingenheimer's on the phone, and he really wants to let you know what he wants to check off his bucket. And I said, F you. That's not true.
Right.
And she's like, no, it really is him. So I'm like, well, there's no chance Ralph's up this late. So let me go.
It must be the real guy.
And I get on the phone. And I start, and it's without question, it's the real one because he starts talking.
Let
me stop you right there. Just to remind people who don't know who Rodney Bingenheimer is, he has been on K-Rock for 30 years. He does a late night Sunday night new music show. He's a broadcasting legend, but he's a little bit of an odd person. And you're right, Kevin. He's not the type of person who would call into Loveline. That's the only reason you don't believe him?
That's part of why I don't believe it. But then he's so aggressive with his.
I agree.
With his conversation, which to me, again, doesn't sound like him. It sounds like somebody's doing a great impression of him. Well, let's play it.
Okay.
And people can make up their own minds. This is from Loveline this past Sunday night.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Dr. Drew.
Roger.
I have the ultimate bucket list, and this has been my dream. The ultimate. My bucket list is to make it with two twin girls.
Really?
Twins.
Yes.
Can you imagine twins?
I can't. I used to be
like identical twins.
Yes, I always had that dream.
And what is there any twins like that maybe we know about that you've ever kind of like maybe the Olsen twins or any?
That would be something.
Yeah. They're very gonna be identical. They have to be identical. Okay. Have you ever tried to just have a young lady and put like a mirror next to her?
I have done that before.
You have? Okay, good. And how do you look in the mirror? Six pack abs? Anything?
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a very powerful and handsome guy. I shouldn't imagine that you've had too much trouble kind of experiencing all your sexual dreams.
I've had most of them, but not twins. Nothing can top twins.
I agree. I do believe that that is something that would be very alluring to most men. Do you ever watch the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger and think to yourself, well, this will have to do for now?
Yeah, I'm the Danny DeVito character.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, it's 1,000% the real Rodney. There's no question about that. It's absolutely Rodney. And second of all, isn't it kind of weird that you want to have sex with sisters who are now kind of having sex in the same room as each other?
No way. That's the ultimate.
Oh, hey.
Best.
Rodney's here? What happened?
Twins. Nothing could top twins. That's the ultimate.
Don't you think that caller was too sharp? For Rodney?
Why are you talking about me like I'm not in the room? That caller, it's me.
You sounded different, Rodney. You sounded a little more on it than normal. Usually you're...
I'm a night owl. That's when I come alive. Twins!
Twins. Mike, you've got a pretty good BS detector. You have no doubt in your mind it was Rodney Bigginhouse, right?
Right. No. That was Godhead with twins.
What? I have absolutely zero doubt. And the reason, what really sealed it for me was that he went on to plug all the new music he's going to play on the show after Love Line.
Which is,
really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations to
Brian
whoever
Wilson
that was.
Coming up next, Brian Wilson. One night I had a sleepover with Nelson. That's about as close as I got to my bucket list.
What about the Thompson twins?
Thompson twins, I'm so disappointed. They're not even related.
Twins.
They're not identical or anything.
Tell me about you having sex while looking at yourself in a mirror that you talked about on that call,
that's
too.
The best. I put a mirror next to a girl.
That's never happened.
And I pretend she's a twin.
You've never done that.
I pretend I'm a twin.
That was a stupid
it's
joke.
Like Dead Ringers. A David Cronenberg film. About the murderous...
Good reference.
Rodney, who's...
Murderous gynecologist.
Right, we saw that one.
Have you ever made someone airtight with your own reflection, Rodney?
Yeah, I have. That and an inflatable inner tube from like a pool.
Oh.
And Mike Nesmith's hat from the Monkees. I use that, too.
Who's your favorite professional baseball team? Do you have one?
Twins!
Oh, really?
Yeah, Minnesota. used to be the Brewers.
Rodney, did you not remember that Psycho Mike physically assaulted you outside of the...
No one really remembers that.
That was him?
Mike threw you up against the fence.
That was... Wait a minute. Now it's all coming back to me.
And kicked the shopping cart over.
He thought you were a homeless guy.
Twins!
Up against the fence. Well, I'm glad you two have made up and are friends now.
It was such an honor talking to you on Love Line the other night, Rodney.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you to Dr. Phil and everyone else on the show. It's just the best show.
What are you going to be playing coming up?
Coming up next, I've got new music from Terrence Trent D'Arby. He's back. Better than ever. His new song, Twin.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking yesterday about St. Patrick's Day. And it went well for some people. Didn't go as well for others. A few people are in trouble. Okay, that happens.
Sure.
St. Patrick's Day. If people aren't in trouble on St. Patrick's Day, you're not doing it right.
What are the expectations?
That's my point.
The day dedicated to people getting stinky drunk. Oh, I'm sure everything will be fine and no one will get into any trouble. What? Asses.
Right, and the people that are getting us in trouble know us. And we've done this 20 times before. What is it that they want?
The definition of insanity is to repeat the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen the same next year as well.
Exactly.
That's just expect it. But we did, we had Beer Mug, who was supposed to be working here yesterday.
Well, that's the one thing. Most of us were able to show up to work the day after the St. Patrick's Day party. Most of us.
I think everyone did that wasn't, Alex didn't, but she was sick. It wasn't because of St. Patrick's Day, but everybody except for Beer Mug.
Yes.
Who we found out woke up in a bush.
Was sleeping in the bushes.
So, and he didn't know where exactly. So we're going to take your calls. You woke up somewhere after blacking out.
We want your blackout adventures. You were drinking, you blacked out. When you came to, hilarity ensued.
Yeah, I've done this before, and people are waking up in other people's homes that they have no idea who it is because they thought it was their house.
Yes.
They just
yes.
go in and get on the couch and they get woken up by whoever is screaming, get out of my house.
Can you imagine?
Right. And then remember the one guy that called and he started yelling at her, this is my house. It wasn't? No. But he was yelling at her? Awesome.
When I was in college, I was a drummer in a band that we had in college, and we would play the occasional party in the housing off campus. There were a lot of people who rented houses around the campus, and they would throw parties because they had their own homes there. So we were in the backyard playing a party at one of these houses, and I was behind the drum kit. And next to the kit, I had a bottle of mezcal, which is, you know, like tequila, only on steroids.
Okay.
It's got the worm in the bottle. Yes. Yeah, at the bottom, you know.
So tequila's not strong enough?
My goal was, while I was playing, was to play the whole set and take just pulls off this bottle of mezcal and to eat the worm at the end of it. That was my goal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because supposedly if you ate the worm, you saw visions.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I saw visions or not, but I woke up the next morning, the last half of us playing, by the way.
Sure, gone.
Gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I was really on beat.
You were a good drummer that night, I'm sure.
I woke up the next morning at that house where we were playing. I had never left, apparently. On the roof of the house.
You woke up on the roof.
Yes. Nude. Wrapped in just a bed sheet, clutching my drumsticks to my chest. I still had my drumsticks with me. I was totally naked, and I woke up outside a window, a second floor window, on the roof of the building, naked, wrapped in a sheet. That's how I recovered from my blackout. I have no idea how I got there. I have no idea why I was naked, what happened between midway through the set that we were playing in that backyard to when I woke up that morning.
Could have rolled right off that
easily.
Roof.
Easily. Could have just plummeted to my death off the roof.
You know, what he wouldn't have done? Let go of the drumsticks?
Yeah, that's
would have held
true.
On to
nothing, no clothes on whatsoever, except I had my drumsticks in my hand and I was wrapped by a sheet. And no one really can fill in the blanks for me to this day. I've been with friends like, what happened? Did you see me at any point? No. We lost track of you somewhere in the course of the evening and didn't see you till the next day.
I went to Las Vegas for a bachelor
party. I was abducted
by
UFO. That's
you
what happened.
So?
That's what I think was happening.
I went to Las Vegas for a bachelor party, and we lost the bachelor. And then we woke up, and we were in some kind of a suite, and there was a tiger in there. And then, for some reason, Mike Tyson came in.
Kevin,
I don't remember.
That
was, there was a baby.
That was the movie, The Hangover.
We found a baby in the closet.
That was the movie, The Hangover, that you saw and probably thought it was your life because
that's
the way your brain works.
Yeah. And here's Beer Mug from yesterday. And then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was it's 7:20 and
last night or this morning?
This morning.
Okay.
The AM.
The AM. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
No!
So that happens. That's my man, Beer Mug.
You don't wake up in Chatsworth, period.
Right.
Let alone in a bush in Chatsworth.
In a bush, woken up by the sun. That's rough.
Oh, that's horrible.
By the way, Bush and Chatsworth, I think I rented that at one point.
1-800-520-1067 is the number you call. We'll put you on the air next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about you blacked out and you woke up someplace. And it was a surprise to you.
That's a bad surprise.
Yeah, I don't remember showing up here. How did I wake up here?
It's like a mystery. It's great. It's like a mystery novel. You don't know how to solve the clues.
Oh, this is great. It's like two and a half men.
Like 2.5 minutes.
Oh, that rocks.
I figure if we get our own laugh track, then
we'll sound a lot funnier.
Anything we say, people will go, oh, that's funny.
That guy liked it.
That guy, man.
We'll be wildly popular. And they'll have us on for 10, 12 seasons.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi there.
You woke up where?
In a shopping cart in front of my dorm.
Oh, Cindy.
In a shopping cart?
Yeah.
It's very Animal House.
I have trouble sleeping anyway. How do you sleep? You pass out, I guess. But in a shopping cart, that's not comfortable.
Well, I was a theater major, and where I went to college, you had to audition at the end of the year to be able to stay in the program.
Right.
You didn't pass the audition, they kicked you out of school.
Wow.
So at that huge audition, we started drinking right after everybody was done. And all I remember is I started drinking on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, I woke up in a shopping cart.
All right.
Do you know who pushed you home?
No clue. No clue. Just arrived there.
But it sounds like you had 2 days that you don't remember.
Yep, that's right. About a day and a half.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Did you pass the audition?
Yeah, actually I did. I was one of, there were 40 people in the class. I was one of 20 who made it in.
Nice.
Well,
and then I promptly quit the profession.
I was going to say, how's that going?
Yeah, not so much.
Now she's a full-time shopping bag lady. She lives on the street in another shopping cart. Thank you so much.
I like that one.
Awesome.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Chris, you blacked out, and when you awoke, you were...
on a roof.
And a roof.
You're a man after my own heart,
I'll
right?
Ralph.
Just like Ralph, okay.
Yeah. Roof of where?
Yeah, the roof of what?
A Maytag appliance building in Lake Havasu.
In Lake Havasu?
You must get that a lot there.
Do you work there?
No. I was out there for Memorial Day weekend.
Just partying.
Got it. And, you know, just a long day of drinking, and for some reason I decided to sleep on a roof.
All right.
Were you shopping for a washer or dryer?
They really like that one.
The audience loves me.
Oh, that was good.
I'm the Charlie Sheen of radio.
Thank you, Chris. Sadly, we knew we'd get plenty of calls on this topic. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on?
You woke up after blacking out where?
Getting kicked off a train in Japan.
Had you started drinking in America?
In the United States? Or?
Wow.
We were in southern Japan. We just pulled in. I was on an aircraft carrier, and we came back from Iraq, and we started drinking, and we thought it'd be cool to go to another club in a different city, and we ended up not making it because we blacked out on the train, and we just went across the country instead.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
How far away were you? How far away were you when you woke up?
It was about 5.5 hours on a train.
Wow.
So the trains were closed when we got off of it, and luckily they're really nice. They don't speak crap of English, but they helped us find a taxi cab, and we paid, you know, about $500 to get back.
He sounds angry that they don't speak English in Japan.
Yeah.
They don't even speak English.
They should speak English everywhere, really.
Yeah. Everybody should.
That's right.
All right, but Justin, really, you're on a train for 5 hours. You get what you deserve.
Well, I mean, there was four of us, so, you know, I'd expect somebody else to wake up and take care of me, but I guess that didn't happen.
Yeah. Did you get back in time, or were you AWOL?
No, we didn't get back in time, but it was, you know, we were pretty lucky that we weren't leaving anywhere, so it was all right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You woke up someplace?
For some reason, this is funnier when girls do it for some reason to me.
Because it's rare.
Me too.
For one, yeah.
So, Jessica, when you blacked out, where did you wake up?
On my dog's bed in my front porch.
On your dog's bed.
On your dog's bed.
Yeah, I have a chihuahua.
You were on the dog,
that
were you?
That is a tiny little bed.
Yeah, it was a really small bed, and apparently all the contents of my purse were left on my front porch, because apparently I was looking for my keys, and I couldn't find them.
Right.
So you just lay down.
So
you said, hey, that's the world's smallest bed. I could probably sleep there.
Yeah.
The dog seems to like it.
It was enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Times.
You're pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. That's nice. She's a lovely flower. Let's go to Rich. You don't want your parents involved. I know that.
No.
I used to sleep on the side of my house so I wouldn't go into my house drunk when I came home.
So you'd sleep it off so your parents wouldn't be able to smell it on your breath or whatever.
If I got up a decent hour, I'd go by the side of the house, usually vomit, then just curl up in the side of the house near the bushes and just take a nap. So when I woke up, I was somewhat reasonable before I went in because I was always petrified my parents would find out.
I like it.
Yeah.
Rich, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are your parents involved with this story?
Well, woke up one morning and we had this huge ivy hill in front of my house.
Oh, it sounds comfy.
For some reason, instead of just walking up the driveway and walking into the door, I decided to crawl up the ivy hill and made it about halfway up and fell asleep.
Okay, good.
And the next morning, I woke up to a garden hose and water raining down on me with my mom screaming at me.
I like it.
Mom sprayed you?
Yeah, my mom, instead of coming just down to wake me up, she just took the hose to me.
Nice.
Woke me up out of a perfectly found, fine sleep.
Sure, you're having a nice, restful night.
Yeah, I was resting up just fine. And the downside was our house is at the top of a hill. The neighborhood kind of emptied out, so everybody saw me sleeping on the side of this hill.
That's great.
Your mom taught you an important lesson.
That's great, with the hose. I like that. All right, one more. Let's go to Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. You woke up after blacking out where?
I woke up on a random house on the patio in a harbor in the hot tub.
In a hot tub?
In a hot tub?
Yeah, I woke up because my head fell into the water, and I breathed in and got a mouthful of water.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, my God.
How long had you been in the hot tub? Because you can't get out looking like a raisin.
I was nice and pruned up like a raisin.
Yeah.
My hands were just white, and they hurt. I mean, it was long enough that my hands were hurting. because they've been hot.
When you woke up, was it 1983 and was it the hot tub time machine? Best case scenario.
Seriously?
Best case scenario.
Really?
It's a new movie that's coming out, Ralph.
The crowd
Put that in the file, please.
Can wait, hold on. Let me tell it again.
We're going to take that
back. Did you wake up in 1983 in the hot tub time machine?
They like it.
They like it.
What are you going to do?
That's the magic of the laugh track right there. Yep.
It doesn't have to be funny.
So safe you.
Oh, stop it, people. Seriously, stop.
You know Disneyland, right? You guys have heard of Disneyland?
Yeah.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Right.
Here at K-Rock all week long, we're giving away a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. That's a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure. Details at K-Rock.com. We got a chance for you to win it a couple times on this morning's program, including next hour right here on K-Rock.
We've been talking about Bean a lot and how he has Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds like that's with a B, but it's with a P, A-S-P-E-R-G-E-R. And it's a form of highly functioning autism that is characterized by poor social skills and focused interests.
All right. And just for the record, I need to say I do have poor social skills and I do have focused interests, but I do not believe that I have Asperger's syndrome,
right,
as many do.
Because we have given you about 7 tests and you score never below a 98%.
I think just strong because, denial is actually on the test.
Just because Dr. Drew says I have it doesn't mean I have it.
Susan Boyle has now come out and said that she has Asperger's.
Now, that was a surprise. Now, we always knew she was a little bit of an odd person, right?
She's the one. What show was it? X Factor? Which one was it?
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent.
She was the one, and it was a remarkable story at the time because she is a kind of a – I don't want to be unkind, but she's not a pretty woman. She's not a young woman.
It was Britain's Got Talent, by the way.
Was it
Britain's Got Talent? Yeah. I apologize. Yes. So she came out on stage, and Simon Cowell all but rolled his eyes at her as, like, why are you even wasting my time on this show? Like, what can you possibly do that's going to be entertaining, you dumpy old broad, you? And she opened up her mouth, and she just sang like an angel. It was one of the most genuine, surprising moments on television of the past few years. And she not only – she didn't win the competition. I think she came in second. But she went on to have a phenomenally successful career, millions of records sold. She's still very popular around the world, but she was never very comfortable in the public eye. She
seemed way awkward,
Terrible in interviews. You know, she had a little bit of a breakdown at one point where she wouldn't leave her house. I mean, it was kind of scary there for a while. She seems like she's balanced it, and maybe this diagnosis has helped her.
Well, we decided we would just check with her.
Oh, great.
The King of Mexico is lined up.
We have Susan Boyle on the phone? Are you kidding me?
Yes, we do. Hi, Susan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're fine. How are you? Thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yeah, I know you got the new Christmas album out. I understand it's selling very well. How are you enjoying?
I love Christmas music.
You do?
I've got it in the house playing 365 days a year.
Wow. All year long.
Yes, I'm a Christmas music enthusiast.
Wow.
I believe I call myself.
That's crazy.
I love Christmas music, too. That's crazy.
What a coincidence.
Yes, it is, Susan. So are you more comfortable now with the celebrity, and has this diagnosis helped you maybe understand why you're uncomfortable around a lot of people?
Yeah, I think it answers a lot of questions I've had about myself for a long time.
Like what? What kind of questions?
Well, people don't really like me.
Right.
And I have a hard time interacting with other people.
Yeah.
I think it's largely because I keep talking incessantly about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You do? Well,
wait a minute. You do that too?
Linus, dumb. Be quiet, Linus.
What?
What's happening?
Oh, Linus and Veruca are fighting.
Those are my
dogs.
Hey, wait a minute.
Fighting with each other.
I have those dogs. What's happening, Susan Boyle?
What's your favorite Eddie Rabbit song? Do you like driving my life away, or I love a rainy night?
I like them both. I got into a knife fight once just having that very conversation.
I was just listening to them on AM radio.
Well, all the best stuff is on AM radio.
What?
Do you know when catchers and pitchers finally report?
Yes, it's about 88 days from right now. Thank you for asking, Susan.
I've not down 88 days. I like to stay current.
I like to stay current. Susan, I love you. You're my soulmate.
Have you seen how hot that weather girl is on Channel 3?
Are you kidding me? She's the best. All the hottest chicks are weather girls.
I was thinking that, too, on my way to the post office.
What? The post office? Is it by a Denny's?
No, it's next to a 7-Eleven, though.
So oh, that's even better.
I find it on a map when I go every time, even though I know what it is, because I love maps.
You like maps?
Maps are the best.
Are you singing
for us? What?
People hate it when I tweet.
Me too.
and they find me very annoying.
I've heard that.
There's only certain places I go to eat. Today it's IHOP.
I'll see you there.
I like the world's largest museums and things like that. And that is why everyone hates me.
Well, there's a downside, I guess.
I saw it first before you did. Just
tried to stay current.
I wish that I was dead. Oh.
Death
is
the best.
It's a horrible life. It's a horrible life I lead, but I love death.
Thank you. Susie, we're soulmates. I'll be right there, baby.
Go Mariners.
You guys aren't off doing another TV show while you're on vacation, are you?
Dude, there's no danger of that whatsoever, especially once you've heard this.
Ralph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
You're fired up today, I see.
I'm fired up and a little nervous.
Man, really? I've not seen you. Why are you nervous?
Because I may be risking both my professional and personal life here by airing these clips that I have for you today.
You might be risking your life.
I just, the reason you guys don't have them is because I was up all weekend. The person who gave these to me, who asked to remain nameless, was a listener. But we have some video, audio clips of a television show that may put this whole reality TV thing into perspective.
Is that right?
Yes. If you're like me, the reality TV thing has just gone too far.
Gone way too far.
Yeah, way too far. Most importantly, I think because of this fear factor thing, which, as Lisa and I were talking about off the air, just the most heinous thing about this show is the things they make people eat. And as an entertainment critic and historian, I thought I would try to go back and try to find the source of where this all began. And I'm lucky enough that through some research and through a friend of mine, I've able to come across. Imagine if you were like an historian, you're able to go back and find the exact moment that Hitler started the Nazi Party.
Oh, I mean,
that would be
yeah.
significant.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Or if you found a critical event in Charlie Manson's childhood that set him on his horrific life path.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or if you decided you could go back in time and see the day that Doc decided a career in radio.
Right. Yeah,
if you can go back and see just the heinous moments. Heinous moments of what happened to make things the way they are currently.
Right.
You travel back in time.
You found that moment for Fear Factor?
Today, I have found
the day television started to suck.
Okay.
Now, we're getting this tape sample that I have carbon dated, so we're not exactly sure the date that this thing was put together.
Right.
But we're guesstimating it's about 10 years old.
Okay.
You had to carbon date it?
For
10 years ago.
Play along, Lisa.
Okay.
So this is when reality television started to go bad.
Okay.
When the process of making people eat crappy things on television first began.
Okay.
Hello, America. We're live in Santa Barbara, California, where we asked, what's the most outrageous thing you would do on national TV? It's pure insanity. You'll see five fearless athletes challenge the limits of human endurance for the chance at $5,000 cash.
See what that is.
Wait for it.
Hi, and welcome to Pure Insanity. I'm Kevin. And I'm Bean, and today we've got five brave contestants, a panel of 12 judges, and thousands of screaming onlookers here on Santa Barbara's East Beach as we ask the age-old and time-honored question, what's the craziest thing you'd do on television?
For a chance at $5,000.
Wow.
I have
a copy of a television show called Pure Insanity.
How did you get a copy of this?
Which is maybe the worst television show I have ever, ever, ever seen.
Wow, remember when $5,000 was a lot of money, by the way?
How have I never heard of this?
Well, because obviously they're deeply, deeply ashamed of it, Lisa, as well they should be.
Let me tell you what happened. They contacted us. They said, you want to do a TV show? We didn't know what. When was this? 10 years ago?
It had to be.
10 years ago, they contacted Bean and I, and we had never done TV, as you will hear, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And we did this pilot episode, and then they said, if it gets picked up, be ready to film the first episode in Hawaii on such and such a date. So Bean and I put in the dates in our little books.
This was the pilot, right.
The pilot. Exactly. So then, as the date got closer and closer, we said, hey, you know, I haven't heard anything of you. No, but the dates, they haven't called us back, so the dates are still in, so we're going to go to... And then finally, it got to be about the week of, and we called and we said, we haven't heard anything, and they said, oh, they're already in Hawaii shooting. They replaced They replaced us without even telling us that they were going to replace us. They just went on their merry way without us because we were so awful.
Well, luckily, they replace you with?
I don't remember who it was, but I do remember that Alan Hunter, original MTV VJ, was on this show.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about him.
Oh, no, Ralph, you don't have the whole show, do you?
So, my man's Kevin and Bean here. gave away $5,000 for a guy to drive an ATV through some eggs and some feathers.
We did.
For a guy to jump into a pool full of water, fish, and manure.
We did.
And dig out some clams.
I honestly don't remember that at all.
For a pair of human hot dogs, two guys dressed as hot dogs walking across hot coals.
We did that, yeah.
But more importantly, you know, the guys who bitch about Fear Factor, what do you have to eat?
Yeah.
Here's what Kevin Bean wanted some guy to eat for $5,000.
Welcome back to Pure Insanity. Hi, we're here with Paul Maillet. Paul is about to push back cultural frontiers and the boundaries of breakfast. Yes, Paul has agreed to sit down and eat a big, fluffy mealworm omelet. Yeah!
Nice.
As we speak, Bean is with the master chef, Alon Lejonter, who is cooking up 100 top-grade, brand-fed jumbo mealworms.
Yeah, that was Alan Hunter, by the way.
Yeah.
Alon Hunter.
See, there was like a French name for him because he was a French chef making an omelet.
Wow. Mealworms are such an innocent time now where you see sheep eyes that they have to eat out of Fear Factor.
How bad were we?
Stunningly bad. Mind-numbingly bad.
Wow.
Here's Bean with Alon Hunter making the mealworm omelet.
Chef, how do you feel here today? You look good.
Well, no, I feel very good. The eggs are very fresh, and the mealworms are ready to be at.
All right, we got a little eggs, we got a little cheese, a little onions. Here are the babies. These are the bad pups right now. We call these grubs around these parts. Now, for thousands of years in other cultures, people have been eating these, sometimes by choice, sometimes by necessity. We're going to see some eaten right here on the stage today by our friend Paul. And our Pure Insanity experts tell us that they are not only cute and nutritious, but they are perfectly harmless.
Unless, of course, they're cornered.
Woo! If they're cornered, then they're dangerous.
Come on, it was a written line, man.
These are the bad pups, by the way. Nice work there, Bean. Working
that's
bad
what we call
pups
them in these parts.
In these parts, they're called grubs.
I haven't thought about this show in 10 years.
I can see why.
Since we drove back from Santa Barbara, I haven't thought about this show.
That wasn't bad enough. They wanted this guy to eat an omelet full of mealworms. Originally, they wanted him to eat cockroaches, but apparently the producers nixed that idea. Here's a clip.
Experts have warned us that an entire bowl of cockroaches would give our buddy Paul here serious gastrointestinal distress.
In other words, he'd throw up?
Exactly. But the worms have met with the approval of your judges and the Pure Insanity Commissioner. And what the heck, they're still pretty gross.
You guys missed your calling.
Are we done?
No.
It's insane!
I thought this was gone forever, and I was happy with that.
I have unearthed Pure Insanity. The two guys who mock Fear Factor for giving $50,000 to people who eat worms and bugs had a guy eat a mealworm omelet for $5,000.
Yeah, we did.
You know what I feel like? I feel like one of these war criminals who moved to the U.S. and has been living a quiet, peaceful, law-abiding life for 40 years, and then somebody comes up from his past and says, it was you!
Right. The Simon Wiesenthal of television. That's who I am, you TV Nazis.
But we've proven ourselves now to not be making that kind of television for 10 years, so I think we should be allowed to live lives like we want to.
Oh, I don't think so.
Hasn't the statute of limitations expired on the grief
not
we get
on
over
murder
this show?
Not the way you killed television.
All right, what's next?
Then this is spectacular. It's you two guys doing play-by-play Schmuck who's eating a plate full of mealworms.
Looks like it might be down to the wire. The clock is running. You only got 60 seconds here, Paul. You got quite a bit of food left on the plate. Kevin, will he make it?
Oh, I don't have any idea. It's just fun watching.
Well, some things haven't changed.
Was that scripted?
No, the day television started to suck.
The improv class is being from a curve.
No, it's
Kevin, do you think he's going to win? I have no idea. It's just fun watching.
I have no defense.
And it is fun watching, folks. And finally, we have the exciting conclusion of Bean really wrapping everything up for us here.
I believe we may have seen enough. In television land, that's a little something we like to call true commitment. Let's hear it for Pablo.
The day television started to suck.
Where is Bean's television
first
land?
TV show. Now he knows what they're calling things in television land. It's called true commitment. A phrase never used outside of television land, as far as I know.
Well, Ralph, you wouldn't know
it's
this.
It's one of those rare television terms.
That's right, Bean.
Only people on TV know.
Ralph wouldn't know about that.
You wouldn't
because
know
he's
this.
Not.
But those of us who hosted Big Time Network TV shows had to go live in a place called television land.
And they gave you a glossary of terms.
Wow.
And finally, the wrap up, Kevin with his giant puffy hair, his mullet. Bean with his ponytail and flip-flops. Say goodbye to all of us in television land.
Well, I'm Kevin. And I'm Bean, and that's our show, Pure Insanity. The next stop will be who knows where. Listen to your radio. We'll be out there somewhere.
That's a threat if ever I heard one.
Or not.
The next stop is going to be whoever the next poor sucker host is of this program, because they're obviously not inviting us back.
The day television started to suck.
Now, as everyone knows, that was not successful.
Well, true.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show joins us in a couple of minutes to recap where we are so far in the tournament as the Sweet 16 begins this week. NCAA men's college basketball, of course. First, though, what do we have up for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
Oh, we got the Brazilian Wandering Spider, Holly the Cat that walked 200 miles to get home, the Brazilian Penis Snake, Willie the Foul-Mouthed Cockatoo, Monty the Cat Fired from Broadway, the Giant Iranian Rats. It doesn't really matter because it's going to land on Monty. Let's do it.
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, I wonder where it'll land.
So you spin the wheel, and there's no way to tell in advance what bit we're gonna be doing here. Who's it gonna be?
Oh, wow, what a surprise. It's Monty, the cat fired from Broadway.
No way. It's amazing.
What are the chances of that?
That is a shocker. Hey, listen, I've talked in the past of what a huge fan I am of RNG, the original cat from the Breakfast at Tiffany's movie. You remember I love RNG so much.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Remember I told you I was going to name my next pet RNG? No. It's the greatest pet name of all time.
Why would I remember that?
Well, we've talked about it on the show. Yeah. Well, the actor who is playing RNG on stage on the Breakfast at Tiffany's is a cat named Monty. And apparently, according to the New York Post, Kevin, he's been fired for being a bad actor.
Monty the cat?
Like, what? How? He's a cat. What can he be doing to screw up the scene? I don't know, but we asked producer Dave, could he please line somebody up for us? And I believe we have Monty the cat himself on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Monty.
Oh, you sound sad.
You sound totally
sad. Of course
sad.
I'm sad. I got fired from Broadway.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be sad if you got fired from Broadway?
Yeah, but I don't understand what happened. I mean, your job really is just to hang out on set and just do cat things. They weren't asking you to sing and dance, right?
What happened is the producers of this show wouldn't know talent if it coughed up a hairball into their Cheerios.
Oh, wow. They said that you were out of control, basically.
That's producer speak for we didn't understand this artistic vision, that's all. I was too much cat for them, and they couldn't take it. So naturally, I get fired. Well, meanwhile, this pussy, Vito, he gets the job because he's, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, let me rub up against your leg, meow, meow, meow. He's such an Uncle Tom.
Well, I think that's what they need from a cat on Broadway.
No, a cat on Broadway has to have energy, has to bring the style and the panache of a Broadway star. Hit it, Steve. I'm dancing and I'm singing. I'm a cat on Broadway. I'm a singing and dancing cat. Oh, look at me. I'm furry. I'm working on my own one-man show.
How'd you get shoes to fit?
Well, I had them specially made. Okay. At PetSmart.
Now, look, I understand that you're very...
And I'm talking on the phone.
Okay.
I can do two things at once.
That's more than
very talented.
I should be a big, big star.
Now, Monty, look, I understand that you're very talented and you can do a lot of things. Maybe this role was beneath you, but isn't that the job of an actor is to do what's required? Not necessarily what you want to do, but what the role asks for.
You only get one bite at the mouth in this life, mister. And I was determined to become a huge star on Broadway.
Yeah, maybe you overdid it.
I don't think so. Wait till you see my new one-man show. I'm going to call it Cats. It's going to be a musical. I like to eat whisker lickin' out of a bowl. And I also like to chase the ball of yarn.
Have you talked to any producers about that particular one?
Not yet,
show?
But we're having a big backers audition this week. We're hoping maybe to do Kickstarter or something. I don't know, but I'll be on stage again.
Well, it sounds to me like...
This town will be my litter box.
You are too good for Breakfast at Tiffany's. They were lucky to have you when they did.
That's what I'm saying.
I like to get a dead bird and bring it into the house and put it in the kitchen and make you scream.
Are you making those lyrics up?
Well, I'm still, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a little more work.
I like to lick myself.
Okay, good luck with that, Monty. We'll talk to you soon.
But my crotch.
All this week at 7:20 a.m., 11:20 a.m., 4:20 p.m., 7:20 p.m., and 9:20 p.m., we are giving away passes for 3 days at Coachella weekend number one. In fact, we just did the very first one of those, and Al Aki from Riverside won the tickets. Your chance to win with Kat Corbett at 11:20 this morning, and details at krock.com.
Okay, hold on, hold on. I'm writing these down. What were those times again?
Okay. 7:20, 11:20, 4:20, 7:20, 9:20.
Right. What was after 11:20?
Okay, never mind.
Well, how am I going to win?
Speaking of Ralph, Kevin, you were out on Friday when we had an interesting conversation that showed you how wrong Ralph can be and how much good sense I make sometimes.
I doubt it.
Ralph was talking about how he had done an event the night before that he and his friend Adam West were both at.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we all love Adam West, but Ralph has been a lifelong TV's Batman fan since he was a little tiny kid. So Ralph has a very special affection for Mr. West.
And I've got a huge Batman collection of 1960s Batman memorabilia.
You have a whole room, right?
Yeah, an entire room in my house dedicated just to that, yeah.
Probably one of the biggest collections in America, I would say, right, Ralph?
It would probably be up there, yeah.
So Ralph is talking about how now, thanks to this new licensing deal, there's going to be a ton more memorabilia coming out because they're starting to finally officially license again the 60s Batman TV series.
You're going to need a bigger house.
So they're coming out with toys. They're coming out with T-shirts. They're coming out with, you know,
greeting cards.
Greeting cards, everything.
Calendars, yeah.
So we're talking about how Ralph's going to have to move out or get a separate house just for his memorabilia. So I says to him, I says, you know, God forbid anything ever happens to Adam West because he's a young, vital man and I want him to live forever. But if he did, how awesome would it be to stuff him and have him in your museum? I mean, that's got to be the best, biggest, one-of-a-kind piece of memorabilia in Batman history if you could actually have Batman in your house.
But you know it isn't. He's not alive.
So that's my point exactly.
So I'm not he's saying not keep Batman.
I'm not saying keep him prisoner. I'm not saying tie him up and torture him. I'm saying once Adam West is dead.
You want to stuff him like an animal?
I'm not trying to be creepy here. I'm not saying
no, there's nothing creepy about this.
You don't keep him a prisoner while he's alive, but you stuff him as a corpse and you put him in your house when he's dead.
This is what Bean has gotten to because there's no difference between human beings and stuffed human beings to him.
No.
What's wrong with you?
It's all just meat. It's all just
No. My point is, he's dead. What makes Adam West? Because, Ralph, your defense was, look, I love him too much as a friend, and his friendship is too important
he's
to me, and that's
what...
He's
a friend of mine. I wouldn't write it. Exactly. You don't stuff your friends, was what my bottom line was.
I think that's a good rule of thumb.
I think so.
I want to think of myself as stuffed after I died for anyone to do whatever.
Nobody would do that.
Family. Would you want your body to be preserved and then, like... lounging on the couch or something, just hanging around the house?
God, no.
I would stuff Lisa, don't get me wrong.
But that's while she's alive. No, but what I'm saying is, what makes Adam West special and what makes him a friend of yours is that he's alive, and it's the things that he has to say and do and the, you know, the,
so,
the
but
fact...
But when he dies, that when goes he dies, away.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. When he dies, that goes away. So the body is not the important part of this. The body is worthless to him. It's worthless to anybody. They just throw it away, basically. I'm
Do you think his family once stuffed Adam West in
I'm saying what a tremendous tribute to Mr. West.
That's not
that
a tribute.
In some way lives forever in a Batman TV museum.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying... That's something I need to know about. Okay? I mean, that affects me.
That's true.
It's a great idea, first of all.
It's not. It's a horrible idea. Because
it's a great idea.
It's creepy beyond words.
It really is. If you're doing something with a dead body.
You're not doing something with a dead body except putting it on display respectfully as part of a museum collection on TV's Batman.
All right, Norman Bates. Let me tell you something, Kevin. What you missed in the conversation last week was Bean saying, I would totally stuff Weird Al.
Yep.
When he's
and
alive.
Put him on my couch. No. Yeah. A dead Weird Al. I would totally have him taxidermied and put him in my house.
Bean has said Weird Al is one of his three favorite humans of all time.
Okay. You don't treat your favorite humans like
I
that,
I don't
in
think
my
so
opinion.
Either, because they cease to be a human and therefore useless
They become
to you.
Furniture.
Once they cease to be a human, that's when it doesn't matter what you do to the body, because the body doesn't mean anything. Guys, the body is just the vessel. It's just like saving the box after you take the TV out of it.
First of all, as a collector, I got to say mint in box is important for everything. So if you have the box without the toy in it, it really does not help.
Can you get a box that
all.
Big? for Adam Ralph's real body.
Ralph tried to claim at the end of the show on Friday that no one agrees with me, and I challenged him on that. I think that there are lots of people listening who, if they had the opportunity to stuff their favorite celebrity and have them in their home, would do it.
I think you're probably right with a few people who are as twisted and broken as you are.
I don't think nothing a lot twisted of people about it. Would be comfortable with a corpse of anybody.
No,
any
it's
corpse
just creepy.
Would be comfortable with that as just part of the decor of their home. I don't think a human corpse is something most people would like to have leaning up against their wall next to the ottoman.
1-800-520-1067. What celebrity would you stuff? Honestly now, not as a joke, what celebrity do you love
you
so much
do
that
this
you would be
honestly.
Happy to have them in your home? Absolutely, I
don't
would.
Buy it.
Look, I'm completely, again, once the person is dead,
I really believe that
the body doesn't mean anything. This is why I've often said when people talk about their funeral arrangements is, I have zero concern about what happens to my body when I'm gone because it doesn't matter.
Some
the body
people
doesn't
care about
matter.
Their loved ones, though, being and what they think and what they feel and how they live with it. And you
I'm
putting Weird Al
that,
on your chair. Is not
I'm not
necessarily...
saying that Adam West's family couldn't come visit Adam West in the Batman Museum at Ralph's house.
Oh,
they could.
Well,
I'm not
right.
saying cut
as
them off forever.
As long as they can visit, then it's okay.
They have to clear
for
it
a
with
small,
Ralph, because I'm sure
a
they
small
would,
admission
they would really
fee.
Enjoy showing up to some stranger's house and seeing their beloved father, husband, whatever, sitting at a desk.
And then have Ralph rush him out because he's got to go
right,
someplace.
They push a button. There's a tape-recorded voice that comes out in a light show going around the display.
What the hell?
Now, the only question I have for you, Ralph, is do you keep him in street clothes or do you put him in an actual Batman outfit when
well,
you stuff him in your house?
No, I'm thinking, I don't have his corpse in my house. That's what I do.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. For reals now. There's
no,
a celebrity
no,
that
for
you
reals.
Love.
Nobody
do you,
it for real.
Do you
for
stuff
you.
Him or her and put him or her in your house? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock.
What you're about to hear is disturbing. It is a man oh, who is you. Deeply, deeply insane and needs professional help.
I'm the only one who's making a good choice here. Look, why throw away the best part of the celebrity when they die?
The
that's
best
what
part
I'm
of
saying.
The celebrity is their personality, Bean.
Exactly. And there's nothing anyone can do about that once they're gone. That's out of the picture. That's not available.
But that's
the only choice that's left.
The
only choice that's left is what do you do with what's left? Do you throw it away, burn it, or put it in the ground? Or do you stuff it and put it in a museum so everybody can enjoy it?
No.
What is wrong
and
with you?
You want it on what your couch, not in a museum.
Wait, what are they going to enjoy, though, Bean? What? How do they enjoy Weird Al? Let's say that you get Weird Al on your couch, which is
I'm
going to
have Weird Al on my couch. Right. Weird Al is going to be watching TV with me every single night. It's going to be the best. And what's your question?
How are you going to enjoy that? What part of that is enjoyable? He's gone.
The fact that I'm sitting there with Weird Al.
You're not
that's
sitting there with Weird Al. You're sitting
right.
there with a dead body.
Ralph,
the only reason I could see this working is if I had been stuffed, and then I could do unspeakably embarrassing things with his corpse, like make his head like a tissue dispenser or something. Just doing like unbelievably inappropriate, like embarrassing things to his body would be hilarious.
That would be funny.
Make his butt like a bicycle rack.
Ralph is not really a fan of TV's Batman because he would not stuff Adam West and put him in a museum in
right,
his home.
Because I don't want to own his corpse. That makes me not a fan.
Yes, it does.
The room that he has jammed with memorabilia doesn't make him a fan?
No, but what I'm saying is he has the opportunity for the ultimate piece of memorabilia,
see,
which
me,
is Adam West himself.
Piece
it
of
isn't.
Memorabilia.
It isn't.
What's
it's
better
not,
than that?
It's not
he's
because
Batman.
It isn't Adam West himself. It's not Adam West at all. It's his dead corpse.
It certainly is. All right. So I asked to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. What celebrity for reals would you stuff and keep in your house after they're gone? And let's go with Jason. He was our first caller through. He's on line two, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Jason.
Hola.
Help.
Hola.
Help. 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 Help.
Would you like to take a gander at some dead Adam West stuffed penis?
All right, what's happening now?
Thank you for the call.
Oh, my God.
What's happening now?
That was his Adam West.
That was his Adam West
Family Guy. Yeah.
Let's go to Justin on line six, joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. It did.
I'd like to take a look at Adam West's stuffed penis, Jenny.
Justin, hi.
How you doing?
Good. I just want to say, before you mention what you're going to mention, you're on Bean's side here.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Remote control, Jessica Biel, all working holes.
Okay, hold on a second. Now, this is not where I wanted to go at all.
This is your person, Bean.
No, that's you and your buddy.
Justin is on your side, Bean.
No, he's not on my side because I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about a respectful,
there's
come on.
A respectful.
A respectful ownership of a dead body. What's wrong with you people? Why can't you get this through your head?
There's no such thing as a respectful.
Don't sully the idea of keeping a corpse in your house by making it creepy.
But, Bean, if you said it's not the person, it's just the body, doesn't matter what you do with it, that's your logic.
That's right.
Then what difference does it make what you do with it?
I'm not interested in even thinking about what he's going to do with Jessica Biel's corpse.
But it doesn't
corpse.
Matter
that's
because
wrong,
it's...
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Oh, that's
I
wrong.
I own a corpse, but I will not have sex with one.
Let's go to, is it Jibo? What the hell is the name on line one?
I don't know, please. It's your people.
Your people.
Hey, Jibo, Jibo. What's your name?
Hello.
What's your name?
Are you Jibo or Jibo?
Jibo.
Jibo.
Jibo. All right, you're the Jibo. Lost Marx brother.
Yeah,
all right, what?
I had a good idea. I wouldn't mind, you know, the young Pamela Anderson Lee.
Okay, again, you guys are missing the point here. This is not what I'm talking about.
Not only does he want her corpse, he wants to go back in time.
You can't go back in time and get a younger version of her. This doesn't work.
It's like Looper, but you travel through time and you kill people and stuff them. It's a new movie.
Look, I know that everybody is on my side, but these calls are not represented. Let's go to Jamie. She is on line two, and I think she's going to be with me here. Jamie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, I would stuff Dave Grohl. It's only creepy if you're stuffing a woman, okay?
Okay.
So I would get a wheelchair and I would take him with me everywhere. Imagine the concert seats that I would get with a handicapped dead Dave Grohl.
Yeah. I don't know if they have a dead section in most concerts. That's the only thing.
Handicapped section?
Yeah, I don't think handicap is different from dead, I would say. They don't have a corpse section. Oh, corpse.
Thank you for the call, Jamie.
Right this way. Oh, I didn't see you had a corpse. Please. Here, let's go to our front row corpse section.
Hey, Jamie, I would like to argue also with your fact that it's only creepy if it's a woman. That's just not true. It's creepy no matter what.
Let's go to Mike on line eight.
How do you feel your support's coming, Bean?
I'm not pleased with these calls at all. It says line nine, but I think it's really line eight for Mike. Can he be our final call here?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, man, I'm on Kevin and Ralph's side. That's creepy. You need professional help.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you know, but if it had to be anybody, it would be Brie Olson.
The porn
there
star.
There you go. There you go.
Again, great. The necrophilia accent has been heard from today.
It's even.